Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Happy Tuesday to you. All right, you ready? Here's a question for you. How would you describe this current phase of your faith journey? I'm going to ask it again. Are you ready? How would you describe this current phase of your faith journey? Are you walking through a valley? Walking through a storm, walking through a dark night of the soul, or maybe you're on a mountaintop and you've got a lot of good things going on in your life right now. Well, don't feel guilty about that. Every good gift is from God. But either way, as my pastor often says, there are two times to sing praises to God and to worship Him, when you feel like it and when you don't. We're going to talk about what it means to praise God and His faithfulness in all seasons with a great friend of the show, Aaron Schust. He's been on a good handful of times in the past. We always enjoy our conversations with him. This is another Artist Corner where we're going to celebrate his new album, Doxology. We'll play songs, we'll hear stories behind the songs, and we'll give an opportunity for you to call in and ask questions, all right? And then second hour, we'll hear from Jim Burns as he talks about passing on a legacy of faith to our children. So here's my question again. Given your current season of circumstances in life, what kind of song would you sing to God? Would it feel like a sacrifice of praise or a declaration of His faithfulness, a song of thanksgiving because He's been good? You know what? We praise Him in the storm and in the valley and on the mountaintops. We praise Him because He's always worth praising. But also when we praise God, it changes something in us. It changes our perspective. Worship is good for the soul, and God is worthy of our praise. So let me tell you about my first hour guest, and we'll get him on the show. Aaron Schust is a singer, songwriter, husband, father, and worshiper of God. His most well-known songs include My Savior, My God, Give Me Words to Speak, My Hope is in You, and Give It All Away. He's toured for over 10 years in multiple countries, and since 2010, Aaron and his wife and their children have lived in Pennsylvania, where I love this part of his bio. He is a worship leader at the church he actually grew up attending. I think that's so great. You can learn more about his music on the web at aaronschust.com. Dear brother Aaron, welcome back to the program.
Susie, thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
Always good to have you. So as you know, you've been on enough times. We love starting out by talking scripture, wondering if there's a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
You know what? There has been. And it's interesting. I'm kind of processing through this. I'm not sure if it's incredibly deep or incredibly shallow. I'm reading in 1 Timothy, and we're familiar with this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. And I guess I've always thought of that verse in relation to that there is one way to God, and that when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me. He's our only go-between. But what that actually means, I've been reading this book called Intercessory Prayer, and it's talking about how that one word mediator can be translated, intercessor, and it's the fact that Jesus is not praying for us. He's standing there like we would go before a judge, our advocate, and he's saying, hey, it's okay for, and he's talking to his Father, it's okay, God, for Aaron to be in our presence because he's with me. He's in my name. He comes in my name. And that goes back to like the way we pray in Jesus' name. It's not like it's the magic words abracadabra at the end of the prayer that make it have to work because I said in Jesus' name. I'm telling God the Father, hey, I'm here not on my own behalf. Don't zap me. I'm here in your son's name, Jesus. And I just that opened my eyes and just kind of changed the way I've been praying the past couple of days.
Well, I'd say there's nothing shallow about that. That's great. Depth, Aaron, I love it. And it's just a constant reminder.
I'm always afraid. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm always afraid someone's going to go, well, duh.
Well, you know.
But for me, that, you know, it's a revelation.
So that's all you got? No, that does not even run through my mind. I love it because we can never get enough of that when you pause and consider that he is the great intercessor. He does advocate for us. He does pull for us, pray for us. And because of him, we can come boldly and confidently into Almighty God's presence. Even that overwhelms me when I think about it. You know, we should have to crawl face down like a worm, and not to say we're not irreverent and humble, but there's no worm theology. Once we've been made heirs of God, we can come running to him.
And amen.
Oh, it's an amazing thing. Love that. Well, before we get into your new project, I want to update, if you could, on your family and especially your son, Michael, if you would. And for those who have not maybe heard past conversations, give us a little context on some of what you've walked through.
Yeah, there's the past, I guess, five years now, since right after we moved back to Pennsylvania, which is home for me, as you mentioned. Our two youngest out of our three boys have spent a good bit of time in the hospital. And with, you know, Nikki, with some disease that we had a hard time pronouncing, let alone describing, but it had to do with a lot of anaphylactic food allergies and rejecting almost everything, feeding tubes and really close calls. And God has intervened in some amazing ways and showed up whenever we needed him most. And we're grateful to say that Nikki's still with us. And there's some foods he needs to stay away from, but he's thriving otherwise. And when he kind of got stable, our youngest son was born with Down syndrome and a major heart defect. And so he spent a lot of time in the hospital, and my wife as well then spent a lot of time with him in the hospital. And a lot of nights where she spent on a couch in there, and I was home taking care of the bigger boys. And we had to pawn them off to friends whenever I was on the road, and it was definitely a tricky season. And I guess the cherry on top was in 2014, we had an anonymous friend, an acquaintance, who called in to the state of Pennsylvania to say that they believed my wife was abusing and neglecting our children, which is ridiculous, completely unfounded, and an attack of the enemy. We had to take it all in stride, and we were under investigation for a year. That was 2014. So my wife's in the clear now. Thank God for that. Her name's been cleared. But that definitely, that changes us to know that could happen. And when you get accused of something like that, you just don't really bounce back from that. So we've had to journey with God through that and with the people around us, friends, family, and our accusers, to try to walk a journey of faith. And that's definitely affected the songs that I've written. And as I continue to lead worship on church week after week, singing my songs or other people's songs, you know, it's been a real test of saying, do I believe what we say we believe?
You know, no wonder the idea of an advocate means so much to you, Aaron, that, you know, we have an accuser. So since it's true that we have an accuser, we got to know that we have an advocate. And and this is not an equal match, right? As powerful as our foe.
It is not an equal match.
Yeah. So did you ever come to find out who this accuser, I mean, who this person was?
No.
Wow.
No, we didn't. And not even we debated whether or not we were going to pursue that. Honestly, because we thought, well, are we going to suspect everybody if we find out? We can find out who the person is and just work on that one person instead of kind of questioning everybody. But we didn't pursue that. And honestly, I'm not even sure if they would let us find out if we had gone down that avenue. But God's given us forgiveness, really, truly. And I can't speak for my wife and what she keeps in her heart. I don't know how often she thinks of that, but it's been a good season of Oasis since that time, and we've moved past it. We don't harbor judgment.
Wow. May God restore every last shred that enemy tried to steal from you and did steal from you in the way of time and perspective. I mean, may God restore it many times over, Aaron. I'm just.
Amen.
Wow. Okay, so this new album, Doxology, tell us, first of all, why you titled it Doxology for those who maybe are new to the faith and don't know what the meaning of this word is, and what your hope is for this album.
Sure. Doxology is a fancy Greek term that we probably are only familiar with if you sing the song, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, in church. A lot of churches still continue to do that. My church will do it every once in a while. Doxology means a liturgy of praise to God, or written, you know, a written liturgy. I'd have to look up liturgy now, too, wouldn't I? something that's written out, planned ahead, of praise to God. And so all throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament, you'll find moments where Paul or Jude will break out into this seemingly sporadic moment of praise, where he just will offer up what was probably a pre-written song of praise, and then he'll either continue on or the book will end. The last song that I ended up writing for this album, I wrote 36 with some dear friends and fellow worship leaders around the country, primarily in Nashville. And I wrote them from home on Skype or on FaceTime with these people so I could stay near to my family. The last song I wrote was with Kyle Lee, and we took it from the doxology in the book of Jude. So that's when I thought, boy, this is the perfect title. So the word doxology actually is not in the song. But it's this whole album is a liturgy of praise, and we can get into that a little bit more, why I differentiate the word praise from worship in this instance. But that's why that title doxology was used.
Well, if you don't mind, let's unpack that now before we take our first break, because when we come back, we'll have you set up the song To the Only God, and we'll play it. But make the distinction, if you would, between praise and worship.
Uh-huh. And this is my interpretation of it. This is not Webster's dictionary definition of these words. But as I look over the journey that I just described with my family, what we went through with our kids in the hospital and accusations, when that first started, the album that I was working on ended up being called This Is What We Believe. And it was definitely a combination of this. I tried to infuse as much scripture, and I always do, but it was very important to me in that hour to infuse as much scripture into that album as I possibly could, because I needed a bedrock. I needed a firm foundation. I remember saying around that time that when the ground that you stand on begins to shake, you're naturally going to reach out for something to hold on to that you believe is firm and secure. And for us, that was the word of God as the circumstances around us began to be shaky. And as we journeyed through that, 2 years later, I have an album to write, and Morning Rises is the title of that album. And I thought, what's the differentiation going to be? And this was during the time of our accusation and people coming to our house and checking up to make sure we were taking care of the kids. Mm. I really identified. We both did, my wife and I, with Job and just how he had lost so much, yet his response was just stunning to us. Not so much in what he said, which we all know, the Lord gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it's how he said those words, which is recorded for us in chapter 1. It says Job dropped to his knees in worship. And those two words, in worship, it's the world to me. He didn't say those words in frustration or resignation. He said those words in worship, truly ascribing worth to God despite everything that just happened. We have to keep in mind that Job didn't know the backstory. So that second album during the season, Morning Rises, for me was worship. It was saying, I'm going to raise my hands despite my attitude not being chipper right now. I'm not feeling like dancing around too much, but I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to raise my hands, and I'm going to worship you because you're worthy. And then the distinction with praise, to me, just feels a little bit more celebrative. It's coming out of that season. It's coming into out of that winter season and moving into the spring where there's new hope and new life and celebrating. Yeah. Celebrating God's goodness.
Oh, so, so good. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear songs from Aaron Schuster's new album, Doxology. I will tell you, we've got a few copies to give away today. They came in the mail and got a little bit, the edges of the packaging got a little crunched, so we don't want you to think we were chewing on the edges or trying to make a sandwich out of them. But the CD in itself is intact, and it's great music. You got a question for Aaron? We'd love to hear from you. Just opening the phones a little bit, so we want to give Aaron as much time as possible. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email your question in Susie@myfaithradio.com. Celebrating Artist Corner with Aaron Schuster. More with him in a moment. A lot of hit songs, but that I think is my all-time favorite song, and I can't listen to it without throwing my arms in the air. So powerful. And that is from the Morning Rises, is that the album?
Yes and that definitely captures that feeling that I was sharing. Yeah. About that, I could tell you stories about when I was first singing that song. During that, I didn't write that song. That came to me through a friend of my drummer who wrote that. And the day that I was in South Dakota, the day that I found out that we were under investigation, our kids were being threatened to be taken from us, and I was about to go on stage.
Wow.
And I dropped to my knees during our pre-show worship time. We shut all the doors and play worship music in the house nice and loud, just for us on the tour to be inside that sanctuary, pray over the seats, pray for our hearts. And I dropped to my knees and just bawling like a baby, Susie, singing that song before I had recorded it. It was somebody else performing it. And I just sang along. And that day, that song became uber special to me.
Wow. Oh, it's just the implications of what you've walked through. But the fact is, Aaron, you're still standing. God has had the last say. And again, this is not over. I mean, I just feel like there's even a new level of redemption and restoration for you. Because, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord does raise up a standard. And when you bring an accusation against one of his own, you know, something especially like this, I don't know. I just, there's a, you know, God is a God of justice. And I just don't think we've had the last of this one. But enough about that. Okay. Let's talk about it. Amen. The song, To the Only God. Tell us about that one.
To the Only God. That is straight from the, I got my Bible right here. That's from Jude. And as I was writing this song, I thought I had all the songs written for this album. I thought I was done. But I had one more session scheduled. And so the hour before I write, like if I write, we often write between 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock on Eastern time, in the morning to the afternoon, for those of you thinking I'm going to be a night owl. No, just during the day, nothing crazy. But the hour before we would write, I try to get time alone with the Lord and in his word and some devotionals, maybe a Spurgeon or Oswald Chambers devotional, and just say, God, what is it that you want us to write about today? Are you going to? Sometimes nothing jumps off the page, and sometimes it does. And so this time I had the Bible open. I was sitting outside a beautiful April spring day here in Pennsylvania, open to the book of Revelation, and the wind blew my Bible one page back to the book of Jude. And I read that last little paragraph, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. And I thought, thank you, God. Let's write about that today.
Indeed.
So almost verbatim. We pulled from a couple pieces of scripture elsewhere, but almost verbatim, this song.
Here it is, To the Only God.
Keep us from falling, to the one who is faithful.
That song is titled To the Only God off of Aaron Shoup's new album, Doxology. Aaron, we've got just about a minute and a half before we take a break here. Madison caller called in and said, is Aaron touring on his new album? And if so, we'd love to see him in Wisconsin. What do you say?
Well, that sounds fantastic. We're in the process of putting together a tour for October, which is only 1 month away now, isn't it? Wow. So we're booking. It's a little last minute on the booking side, but we're working on putting a tour together. Jared Anderson, who's a great worship leader, written some fantastic songs you'd recognize. He's going to be joining me.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, let your church or local radio station know. We'd love to come to Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll have to get you back in October so you can highlight. We have markets in the upper Midwest, 5-6 different states, so I'm sure lots of our friends would love to see you. Before we take this quick break, what would you say is your takeaway for this album as far as if there's one statement you could make for people listening? What do you want them to take away from Doxology?
Oh, wow, that's great. You know what? I'd have to think of what the theme is, and if I had to summarize it here right now, it's this image that one day we are going to, in fact, surround the throne of God, everybody, people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, and we will witness the crowning of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the ensuing cheer and after party of praise and worship is going to be incredible.
Indeed.
And that's what I tried to capture with this praise in this album.
And he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. No more sickness, no more disease, no more false accusations. He will make all things new. Amen. Talking to Aaron Shoup about his new album, Doxology. When we come back, we'll hear more songs from this great new album. Back in a minute. Jesus face to face, and as we were saying, he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Our God reigns. Isn't that good news? Talking to Aaron Shoup today, Artist Corner, celebrating his new album, Doxology. In just a moment, we're going to hear the song, Oh Praise the Only One. But Aaron, before the show, you and I were praying, and I told you I got this picture of these mountains surrounding you. Just this picture kind of flashed in my mind, and I get the sense that at times it may feel like it's holding you back, but it's really like you're hemmed in by his faithfulness and promises. So I thought, I know there's a verse, something about mountains surrounding Jerusalem, so I looked it up, and listen to this from Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but they will endure forever. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forever. The wicked will not rule in the land of the godly, for then the godly might be tempted to do wrong. O Lord, do good to those who are good, whose hearts are in tune with you. Banish those who turn to crooked ways, O Lord. Take them away with those who do evil. May you have peace. I just love that. I just love that because you trusted him. You're as secure as Mount Zion. Isn't that good news?
I love that. I just turned to my Bible as you were reading that, and I'm going to mark that up and make that mine.
I think song might be coming. So if you want to give my name in the credits, it's S-U-S-I. No, I'm just kidding.
S-U-S-I.
That's right. Totally kidding. Okay, let's hear about Oh Praise the Only One. Tell us about that song.
This song is one of two on the record that I had nothing to do with, but that I fell in love with. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. So we were at this writer's retreat. I described it briefly a little bit. So we had some artists, some worship leaders, songwriters. The common denominator is we all love to write songs for the church. And we would write songs after breakfast, and then we would break up into different groups and write songs after lunch. And then after dinner, we would gather together and record these songs. The songs that were written the day before. Every morning while we were trying so desperately to wake up over our cups of coffee, we would gather and try our best to remember the songs that we had just written the day before and play it for each other as a part of morning devotions. And Michael Farron and Christy Nordoff and Riley Enquist had written this song, and they played it for us that morning, and everybody knew it was special. And I decided that I really, really wanted to sing this song for the rest of my life. So I tried to get permission to record it, and they granted it. And I love this song. My favorite line is from the chorus. Death and hell call him victorious. Wow. I love that.
Wow, I got goosebumps.
I mean, just want to pause there and think about that. You think about the verse where it says that you believe in God, great. Even the demons believe in God, mm-hmm. and they tremble. Mm-hmm. And there's something along those lines with that lyric that, yes, we can call him victorious, but it's another thing when the enemy, death and hell personified, has to call Jesus Christ victorious. I love that line.
So powerful. Let's hear, "Oh, Praise the Only One."
Stronger love we know. God himself comes down to live and makes the sinner's heart his throne. There is no greater peace than this, no other kindness can compare. He clothes us in his righteousness, forever free, forever heirs. Oh, praise the only one who shines brighter than a thousand suns. Death and hell call him victorious. Praise him. There is no sweeter joy than
my blood pumping.
Mine too. I mean, that sounds like a timeless anthem, doesn't it? I mean, it's just steady and sturdy and powerful. Wow.
Well, I plan on singing it for as long as I can, whether it's timeless or not. It's going to be timeless for me.
Indeed.
It's just truth. I love that first line. There is no greater truth than this.
Indeed.
You know?
Mm.
And I love that I can get so excited about that song because I didn't write it. I can brag on it all day
long. You sure can.
Not being... being humble still.
And you pulled it off. I mean, it's beautiful and it builds. Wow, just love it. Okay, we want to try to sneak in another one before the break. Talk to us about Never Gonna Let Me Go.
Oh, cool. Benji Cowart, I wrote that song with him. And we had a scheduled time, like I mentioned earlier. And I had an idea, and I'm not sure we used any of it because he called me so excited when we jumped on Skype. He said, I just took my daughter to school, and I had this melody in my head. And he was singing the melody of ended up being the pre-chorus of the song, and Never Gonna Let Me Go, I Know. And he said he even had the bass line in mind. So it's like a little walking bass line, and it just became a really fun song that we ended up crafting, but we didn't finish. We ran out of time. We didn't have a third verse, and I ended up playing it at church, unfinished, and it went over well. And then one of my friends who played bass at my church, he passed away. It wasn't suddenly. He'd been fighting cancer for almost 12 years.
Mm.
Two teenage daughters, and just a great guy. And he passed. And he's always loved praise and worship music. So we had the funeral that I played for, but his request was to have a memorial service. He had a lot of friends in Chicago that couldn't make it immediately, so they came from out of town. And they wanted to have this full-on high-energy worship service.
Hmm.
Like, they said, no slow songs. Like, all the fast songs. Susie, we were so tired at the end of that hour because our hands were just tired from strumming and playing that fast and hard. But it was so fun. So I chose all songs that we would all know. And this was the only new one that we did. We played this song at a memorial service for someone's life to praise God through it. And I told Benji the next day, I called him, I said, listen, I played this at this funeral, as it were, and it worked. And I told him a little bit about Scott, and Benji just thought for a moment, goes, that's what the third verse needs to be about. And we ended up writing, What Can Separate When You Are Holding On? Even death can't take me. You're never going to let me go.
Hallelujah. More holy goosebumps. All right, let's listen in.
Wildest waters and in the highest flame, you are standing with me. You're never gonna let me go. In the heat of battle, encircled by my foe, I'll just keep on dancing. You're never gonna let me go. You're never gonna let me go. I know you're never gonna let me go. No power on earth can break your hold. You're never gonna let me go. Separate me when you are holding on. Even death won't take me. You're never gonna let me go. I said, even death won't take me. You're never gonna let me go. You won't let go. Shamed our enemy. Nothing is lost that cannot be redeemed. Because of the cross, we stand in victory. Because of the cross, the grave has lost its sting. Because of the cross, we shamed our enemy. Because of the
on, come on. I love that, Aaron Shoes. Fantastic. Oh, my goodness, that's so fun. We need to take a break, but I know what you're thinking listening today. Listen to Aaron's music. You're like, I want to get me a copy of that album. Well, we got a couple left. If you want to chime in, ask Aaron a question. We'd love to hear from you. Or maybe tell us about your favorite Aaron Shoes song, 877-933-2484. I want to give Aaron as much time. We got a couple more songs to squeeze in on this last segment. So just tell Grace your thoughts. She'll pass them on to me. 877-933-2484 or Susie at myfaithradio.com. More with Aaron Shoes in a moment. Glad you're listening today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're celebrating Aaron Shoes' new album, Doxology, here in the songs. And we're going to try to squeeze in two songs, so I think we have to cut this next one a little bit short to get them both in. By the way, Lucy called in. She says, I love my Savior, my God. Thank you, Lucy, for that. Another great Aaron Shoes song, and you get a copy of his new album, Doxology. Love that. Okay, so tell us a bit about Nothing More.
Nothing More. Well, first of all, thank you, Lucy, for calling in and saying what you said. Nothing More. Nothing More was born at a prayer meeting at my home church on a Sunday night. We had gathered for an hour and a half, as we do once a month, to just go deep and pray for more than just, you know, people's colds. And we might pray for people's colds, absolutely, but we want to go deeper than that. And we want to pray for God to move among ourselves individually, among our church, to make sure that we are pursuing Him and we're in His leading, His guidance. And we had a time of quiet at the end, and I had my guitar just in a small room, unplugged, literally. And at the end, in the quiet, I just, this melody and these words, fill this place with your presence, fill this place with your Holy Spirit, began to rise up, and sang it for a long time at my church with my people, and until I sat down at one of these writer's retreats that I described earlier, and sat down with B.J. Putnam and Jonathan Lee, and we ended up finishing it. And it's a precious, precious song to our church congregation, I believe.
Very good. Let's hear Nothing More.
Nothing more.
is the cry of our hearts. What a beautiful song, Aaron. I just love it. And I can picture the prayer meeting, people crying out, just saying, we want you, nothing more than you. Fantastic. So I want to just make sure we can squeeze in the time for Always Will Be. One last song here, one of many on this album, but talk about this song.
This one might be my favorite. I also wrote this with B.J. Putnam, who I wrote with wrote on for Nothing More, and also Benji Cowart, who wrote Never Gonna Let Me Go, together. And we actually were in a room together where on the wall was the prayer of Francis of Assisi, the Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me show love. And it keeps going through all this list. And that was the inspiration behind the whole thing. But this sound definitely summarizes what I was describing earlier, how I wanted to create this a sound in this album that felt like an end of time celebration. We sing the hymn, you know, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. That's going to happen. And Jesus is going to be crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conqueror of sin and death forever. And like I said, we're going to break out into a party. And this, I wanted this song to have that party feel, to say, and then to look back and to say, you know, in the midst of all the heartache and the hatred and the sorrow of life, you were there. You were, you are, and you always will be.
Indeed and amen. Let's hear Always Will Be. Love it, Aaron. Congratulations on another great work of art. You know, as we as we wrap up, we normally ask our guests to pray, but I just, if you don't mind, want to pray for you and for your family. Is that all right?
I accept. Thank you.
Well, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are faithful. Just as those mountains surround Jerusalem, you surround the Schust family, and they will not be defeated. First of all, I ask you, God, to minister to Aaron's wife's heart in the deepest way, restore everything that the enemy's tried to do. And I just pray that you restore her with joy and confidence and a winsome expectancy that you are working and you're her defender and you're her deliverer. Pray for Aaron, as you've hemmed him in and protected him, would you also send him out and use him in ways beyond his wildest dreams? I pray that you'd work in and through his sons, that they would walk with you, closely with you, never depart from you, and be used mightily by you. Thank you for this precious kingdom family, for this music. I pray it would inspire worship in people who barely know you, but they would come to know you because they hear these songs. Lord, we ask you to do what only you can do as we put these seeds in the ground. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I received that, Susie. Thank you.
Yeah, always good to hear from you. Always good. And let us know if you're, you know, if you want to join us again in October. We'll talk about your tour dates and catch up, all right?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you. Have a great day.
Talk to you soon, then. God bless.
Bye-bye. Aaron's album is Doxology. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did today. You've been listening to Hour 1 of Live the Promise. Coming up next, Jim Burns joins me to talk about the importance of passing down a legacy of faith. And it's not as hard as you may think. He'll give you some positive, practical application steps to take. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.